Pray right now for all of the moms, and there are moms. I met moms this morning that have a little baby coming along. Little baby growing in them. And Lord, there are great grandmothers here this morning. Got a chance to meet some of them. Wow. Father God, we pray that you would strengthen the family in America. On this we can all agree, men and women alike. God, will you strengthen the family in America? Will the American family become a family of faith first? And God, we pray that today, I pray over the moms and grandmas of this fellowship, that you would spoil them today with your kindness, your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, I thank you. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, real quick before we get going here is, I'm going to ask all of you to just cooperate in loving on one another and making sure that when you meet people here that are visiting, are you guys visiting from far away up front? Are you? From where?
Las Vegas.
No, that's Las Vegas. It's only a few hours away, but Las Vegas, it's a city of sin. So it's like you've driven from Babylon. Look, he said it. He said it. I didn't say it. He said it. Welcome, you guys. Who else is visiting from somewhere? Anyone? Washington State? What part? Battleground? A friend of mine used to live in Battleground. I think she moved. Heidi St. John. Jay and Heidi St. John, I think. Maybe she still does. I'm going to get in trouble, but Battleground.
Oklahoma.
What part of Oklahoma? I heard you the first time. I was blown away because Edmond, I have a good friend that pastors a great church, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Yeah, that's where you go? So listen, we're all going to go home with you because he's a great pastor. I love Mark, great, great pastor. So for those of you who are visiting, what?
Indiana?
Maryland? Why are you so far in the back?
Georgia?
Beautiful.
Colorado.
Oh, that's right, Colorado. I met you guys earlier.
Africa.
Where Africa? Did you say Africa?
South Africa.
South Africa and Zambia?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it saying? I couldn't hear. Wow. I met you guys before service, right? Yes. Amazing. Well, we actually have a message to teach, but real quick. So we're voting now. I don't know. I got my ballot Monday. I need all of you to know this. If you got your ballot, know how to vote and turn it in immediately. I mean, I know quick. I know we've got the dates set up here, and that's good. Bring your ballot to church because what we do here, and it's so great, it's been scrutinized by CBS News, NBC. They heard that we do this. They all freaked out. Democrat Party threatened to sue us. Yep. So they came to see what we do, and they went, shoot. But it's great because it made national news. Here's the deal. You get your ballot, you bring it in, and what we do is we have people under guard, under a California state-approved lockboxes, and your ballots will be taken to the registrar's office, guaranteed. You can even track it on your app. Guaranteed, your vote will not only make it, it will be counted. Here's why you need to do this, people. Is because don't wait. So many of us live in the old school world, and it doesn't work anymore. In the last election, 122,000 votes in Orange County were not counted because they arrived on the day of voting. I grew up voting on the day of voting. Here's the deal. Vote early, vote right away, vote wisely. There's a voter's guide. You can go to realimpact.us or whatever that. But listen, here's the deal. Vote early, and pray, of course, for God to grace us with the results. But there was something else that was very important that I need to make sure you know. Oh, yeah, yeah, here it is. So in California, here, the Democrat Party is getting behind Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer, very, very much so. I just want you to all know this. I want to show you what he just posted. This is from his website. Tom Steyer for governor. CARE Action endorses Tom Steyer for California government. California governor. That's Tom Steyer's website. That is a screenshot from his website, everybody. Do y'all see this? Do you know what CARE is? The Council for American Islamic Relations. That means every imam and every mosque and every Muslim in the state of California will be required to vote for him. They don't have a choice. They are told you will vote for this individual. This has always been the case because they don't hold to a constitutional republic. They hold to Sharia. They're told in this nation of ours who they're going to vote for. Now, this might be too much reality for some of you, and you don't like it. Honestly, I love you, but it's too bad. You need to know the truth. Muslims in California are going to pray as the imam in their mosque directs them. Okay? And they are telling their people, vote for Tom Steyer. If they tell you they're not, they're lying to you.
And are they citizens?
Okay? Are they citizens? How am I supposed to know that? Remember this. And those of you who live in the city of LA, they also put up a candidate to run for the mayor of Los Angeles, a Muslim, to run. And look, it's still, we the people, we still have a chance to say. But may God have mercy on anyone who is swept up in apathy and stays home. These are critical days. This is like a war. The war has begun. We're not using weapons. But listen, every 2 years, the United States, we have a revolution with a pen. We vote. Did you know that? We have a transition of government that is without violence. That's what makes America unique. I'm just telling you right now, Tom Steyer is so proud that the Muslims will be voting for him. The question is, will the Christians vote differently? Will the Christians even vote? That's the big question. So, wow. Now you can stand. All that's behind us. People are wondering, oh my gosh, what did I just get baptized into here? Truth, friends. Father, we pray that as we study in this now, this portion of the book of Proverbs, as we slowly move on, but deeply move on in this truth, God, we pray that each and every one of us would leave as a people wiser than how we came in. So, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people again said, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read it. I'll take up the initial verse, verse 20, as we continue on in this chapter. If you'll pick it up in verse 21 in the odd-numbered verses. And we're looking at the way of wisdom, of course, is the theme, is speaking to you. That's the title for today, the fact that wisdom is speaking to you. You say, what do you mean wisdom is speaking? You're going to see in a moment. You're going to see in the moment how God himself has personified wisdom. Wisdom is speaking because the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks wisdom. Holy Spirit. And what is he saying? Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge.
Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you.
Verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes.
When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you.
Then they will call on me. This is God speaking, obviously. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me.
Because they hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Wow. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke.
Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies.
For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated, church. Wisdom is speaking to you. It's amazing to me. I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus Christ, when I heard the gospel. I've told you many times before, I didn't quite understand what I was doing. I just knew that it was something that I needed to do. And that is immediately, first of all, was to give my life to Christ because I didn't want to go to hell. I had heard the message. Greg Laurie was the one preaching it. And he gave that message, and I listened, and I was convicted. And my first response to God was what some people say is fire insurance. I ran straight to the Lord because I wanted to go to heaven. But that one step began a movement or a journey in life, and I know that many of you, I could say for all of us, I don't know all of you, but I hope by the end of this message it would be true for all of us that we began a journey of pursuing God and God revealing himself to us. And it's this remarkable relationship that we talk about. And as we looked at this, the opening chapter, chapter 1, which of course we're still now trying to finish off, and we will do that sometime soon. But chapter 1 opened up with some key fundamental truths. And it's an announcement that these are the words of Solomon, the wisest king or the wisest man that ever lived. And it's not because he attained it, it's because God gave him wisdom. And the Bible tells us in the book of James that God will give you wisdom if you ask of it from God. The reason why so many times the Bible says this, the reason why you and I do not have is because we do not ask. We need to ask God and ask God for wisdom. But then we also learn that there was several verses there after verse 1 that we're learning about how to avoid evil. Stay away from evil company. We learned about how evil company corrupts us. We learned that verse 7 of chapter 1 is the very foundation of the entire book of Proverbs. 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. It's a great practice that I hope some of you have taken up that challenge and you're reading the proverb in correspondence to the very day of which we're living. That said, verse 7 said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word fear is to be in awe of God. There's a presupposition to that. It means that you know who he is and what God does. And what has God said about himself? And we looked at that in detail. You can look at it later in our studies online if you would. But the fact of the matter is, now God is speaking to us here about wisdom, of course, yes. But he's now dialing it down in certain areas of life. And he's contrasting the difference between the person who stops being the simpleton. Who stops being, I know the word I want to say, but my grandkids won't allow me to say the word. But, you said it over there. It's that word. You know, it starts with an S and ends in a Y. That said, John chapter 16 tells us you don't have to be lacking, or another word is dumb. You don't have to be dumb. John 16, Jesus is speaking. Jesus said in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You guys are overwhelmed. I get it. Don't worry about it. Verse 13, however, when he, personal pronoun, friends, my friends who are Jehovah's Witnesses, I know you visit, you come all the time. Listen, notice, he, the personal pronoun, is referencing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a he. He's God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Wow. The work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God moving in wisdom, all available to you and I, so that you and I in life will not have to make dumb decisions, so that we can walk with God in wisdom. The Bible tells us, for example, about us hearing and our dependence upon the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, again, Jesus is speaking, Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says to the churches. God's Spirit is speaking. Every true believer knows when God is speaking. And if you don't know, if you're not sure, God the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, will speak the Word of God. He'll speak the Bible to you. He'll speak truth. Can I be blunt? He will not speak feelings to you. The Holy Spirit will never ask you, how do you feel about this? He won't do it. Because there's too much at stake, everybody. There's an eternity that's real, and there's no do-overs once you die. The Bible's crystal clear about this. Listen, the Bible says it's appointed that every human wants to die, and then comes the judgment. But thank God for Jesus' words. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will pass from judgment to life. Wow. So think about that. Where are you going in the moment of death? Well, wisdom is speaking to you, and wisdom is saying, choose life. But that is to be done now, in this world, at this time, in which you and I live in. And then one more introductory verse before we dive into this, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. Now, that's an amazing statement. He just got done saying in verse 9 that there's no human possible way that your eyes or that your ears or your mind or heart can handle the things of heaven. But look at verse 10. But here comes the answer. God has revealed them to us. How did he do that? How can God give you and I things that are impossible for us to know? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You should say amen to that. Amen. There's no way that you can say today, I'm a believer in Jesus. There's no way for you to say today, Jesus Christ is Lord, or I'm going to go to heaven when I die, or I have the assurance of eternal life because of God's grace through Christ. You cannot say that without the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if the Holy Spirit is not at work in you, you can't agree to those things. You wouldn't argue about them. Better to lose the argument to God and come with us to heaven. My goodness, you look around at the world and all that's going on, it's like, Lord, let's go. What a beautiful thing. The more you read about heaven, and I encourage all of you, maybe you're visiting, buy the book. I wish I would have written it. It's called Heaven by Dr. Randy Alcorn. Heaven. The only book I'll ever recommend about heaven is that book. And when you read that book, you get so excited about heaven that you'll tolerate everything that's here on earth, knowing time is limited. When it's all said and done, we've got our sights on heaven. Paul was delighted about going to heaven. It's so cute. They were saying, Paul, minister to us. Paul, serve us. And Paul said, look, I'll hang around. It's better for you if I stay around. Just know this. It's kind of funny. All right, I'll be your pastor. Or I'll be your teacher, he would say. Or your apostle. Just know this. It's for you to be strengthened. Because I want to leave. I would much rather be in heaven with the Lord than with you here on earth. And that's a good, you have to mitigate that attitude, but that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. You know, think about it. For us here in this world right now, as believers, this is as close to hell as we're going to get. For people who are never going to get to heaven because they won't trust Jesus, this is as close to heaven as they'll ever get. Truly, I agree with J.R.R. Tolkien in Lord of the Rings. This would make our experience Middle Earth. We're right in the middle. The Bible calls it in the valley of decision. To decide where will you spend eternity. So here we go. We dive into it. Number one point is found in verses 20 to 21. It's as far as we're going to go today, I think. And it's this. Wisdom is speaking to you wherever you go. Of course, that's a no-brainer, but you got to write it down. You got to know this. Wisdom is speaking to you and I wherever we go, because wisdom is not some book, or it's not some lecture series, or it's not something that is limited, because wisdom comes from God. It's not a human attribute. It's divine. It's supernatural. That verse there, verses 20 and 21, says this. In verse 20, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. This is very cute, and I'm going to make it very dramatic because it's supposed to be. These Hebrew words are very, very, I'll say, not only descriptive, that to me is not even good enough of a word, but I will borrow a word from our technology. It's the words are very technicolor in what's being said. Watch this. Wisdom calls aloud with a bullhorn to everyone. Wisdom is calling to the culture beyond the walls of the church. Wisdom is calling aloud outside. She raises her voice. She's shouting in the open square. She cries out. Listen to these very demonstrative tones that God is putting to the Bible. God is saying wisdom is shouting to you. Wisdom is calling out to you. Wisdom is crying out to you. Everywhere, outside, in the open squares, in the concourses, that's where people are trafficking, and in the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. Notice the drama. This is God, the author of the Bible, and he's just saying, you know, it's Mother's Day. How many moms remember where it was their delight to tell their child the right way to go? You know, and they did go the right way and then they became teenagers. And then you wonder, what happened? Well, now's the time to pray. It might be the time now to zip it quiet and get on the knees and pray. But God, listen, wisdom will save your life. We've already laid down the ground rules and the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is acquisition of knowledge, of knowing. Wisdom is the execution of what you know. A lot of smart people do really dumb things. Why? You know, we all related to some of these people. Why do really knowledgeable people, they can have degrees going beyond their arm, but they just repeatedly make the wrong decisions. Why? They lack wisdom. And yet, we've seen people, right? We know people that barely got past the third grade, and they're some of the wisest people we know. I met somebody not too long ago, I forget where, but what made me remember that is this guy went to the third grade, and he had to leave school because of the catastrophe in his family. And that man that I was talking to is now old like me, and that guy's a multimillionaire because he invented something. He didn't know much, but what he used by virtue of wisdom, and it wound up benefiting the world. God does that. But right here we see this in verse 20, that wisdom is never silent. Think of that for a moment. Wisdom's never silent. You just saw all of those descriptions. You guys with me? You're really quiet. Wisdom calls aloud on the outside. She raises her voice into the open squares. You can take this in two very key ways. As I mentioned a moment ago, notice she's calling aloud and she raises her voice. Where? Outside and in the open square. Church family, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but it's truth. God wants the Christian to never be silent. Where? Exactly. Everywhere. Starting in your own life, in your home, in your community, at work. Never be silent. As I said earlier in announcements, we're voting. Don't be silent when you're voting. Vote. Vote is your voice. Speaking to somebody, having the opportunity. You know what? I'm sorry. I was at the mall last night. Apparently, by the way, Brea Mall. What in the world is going on? Lisa and I had to stop there and get a gift for somebody. Did I miss something? You couldn't find a parking spot. It was wall-to-wall people. Like it was the last day on earth, everyone was allowed to shop. Is something going on? It was packed. And then somebody told me, I think Mercedes told me before service. She goes, Victoria Gardens was the same way. What's happening? Maybe it's the economy. I don't know. Here's the point. I went into the men's bathroom. And here's what I want to shout from aloud. Men, will you wash your hands? I think I'm going to start a company. Hidden cameras in public bathrooms for men, and if they don't wash their hands, there's going to be some sort of a dye that splatters all over them as they leave the door, so you stay away from them. I almost, you know what's bad about getting older? You don't care. And you just tell people, hey, you know what? Wash your hands, man. You want to kill yourself? Kill yourself. But listen, you're going to touch the handle of the doorknob, and then you go out there and you wash your hands. So listen, we have cameras in all of our... I'm sure all women wash their hands. Never be silent. Never be silent. The Bible's very clear about this. The Holy Spirit, He's omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. He's in the life of the believer. And you and I are like vessels. Think of that megaphone I mentioned earlier that's shouting out. Back in the days, ancient times, when cheerleaders at football games, they used to have a megaphone. And it would take that little voice of that little 100-pound teenage senior cheerleader, and she would sound like a train horn. The Holy Spirit does that to us. We're just mere mortal people. But when the truth of God is in us, we walk in wisdom. And listen, we don't say stuff. We've got something to say. There's a big difference. And God would have us to speak. The Spirit of wisdom is in every believer. Isaiah chapter 11. Now, this is cool. I need all of you to pay attention to this because a lot of Christians do not realize, and they get balled up with this. When I read this in a moment, watch how God speaks to us, because I'm not going to mention names. There's at least one famous televangelist who said that there are seven Holy Spirits. And it's like, why is he on the air? Look, just because you have money to be on TV doesn't mean you've got truth going for you. But this is where he made the mistake. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod, capital L. See that? It means we're speaking about somebody. From the stem of Jesse. You guys know who Jesse is. And a branch, the branch and the rod are the same one, shall grow out of his roots, Jesse's roots. Verse 2. The Spirit, can you look at the screen and my finger? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel, might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Watch, this is important. Of course, it's referencing Jesus. Who is the branch? We know this from the Bible. Jesus is the branch. Isaiah is speaking. If you don't know, 743 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Isaiah, God is speaking through Isaiah, the great prophet of Israel, and he's announcing that the Messiah is also named the branch and the rod. And upon the Messiah, the manifest seven spirits of God will be upon him, but the spirits are these. It's one Holy Spirit who manifests these attributes. It's not the Spirit as persons, it's one Holy Spirit emanating out these truths. It's like, watch this. You actually know this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You say, no, no, it's all these other things. No, 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 no. Believe it or not, the fruit of the Spirit is singular love, and all of these things flow from it. Gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, right? Think about that. Same exact way this truth is revealed. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Zechariah 4, 10, Old Testament says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Don't be discouraged because things are small. "For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." The eyes of the Lord. The Lord doesn't have seven eyeballs. This means absolute perfect understanding by the manifestation of these seven attributes. The Spirit of God is upon you. The Holy Spirit, meaning sees all. He knows all. The Holy Spirit. And believer, he's the one that's in you so that you and I would never be silent. God is living out his will and his plan in your life and mine. Think of that. What a lofty calling to be a Christian. We need to get back to that reality. It's not a game. It's not a club. When you come to know Christ, you understand that you are a sinner on your way to hell. Without him, it's hell, but with him, it's heaven and forgiveness. He does it all. He died on the cross for you. He rose again from the grave for you. And all he asks of you is to acknowledge that and to come to him as Lord and Savior. And to make that decision. Jesus, I want you to guide my life. You're my creator. Be my guide. I surrender to you. And until Christ comes for us, you and I are living out the will of God to those around us in this world. It's awesome. And the Spirit of God desires to exercise the wisdom of God in our lives. You need to think of your walk much more highly elevated than what you may be accustomed to. God wants to do great things with you and powerful things with you because the Holy Spirit is great and he's powerful. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars." He was speaking to Israel and he said, this is what God wanted to do. He wanted to bless you, but you turned away from him, so now you're going to have troubles. Listen, that speaks to choice. How do you make wise decisions? Follow God. Know the word of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 tells us, "And I looked," John said, "and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders," stand by now, all these verses you've written down, they're going to come home now together, "stood a lamb," who's the lamb? "As though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes," which what? "Are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Answer, Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. And that same Holy Spirit resides in you, the believer. This is kind of fun. The omnipresence, the everywhere nature of the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 7. Verse 31, the Bible says, Jesus said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation?" Now, Jesus had been preaching to the leadership of the nation of Israel. So please understand this, everybody. When Jesus is about to rebuke, you'll see the Jews or Israel, he's talking about their religious leadership. He's talking about their government, not the Roman Empire. Rome was the occupier. Israel was supposed to be a theocracy. That's what God had intended. But remember back in the days of King Saul? Remember that? They were all crying. They said, "We want a king like all the other nations." And Samuel was all upset about that. And God told Samuel, "Just calm down. They haven't rejected you. The people have they've rejected me. They want a king like all the other nations. They don't want me anymore. So let's give them a king." Just remember that. By the way, I think as a believer, we enter into that relationship with God where he is now our governor. He's our king. And how does he do that? From the inside out. So Jesus is speaking to the leadership. To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We mourned to you, but you did not weep. And then he explains it. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus speaking of himself, has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber. I love this. Jesus was guilty of being a friend of tax collectors. So let me update it. A friend of IRS agents and employees and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Jesus is saying, there are those you think you know everything, but you don't know anything at all, because I can tell by your actions, what you know is not what you practice. I tell you what, Jesus is saying this. You'll know what people really, really are like and what they really, really believe by how they act. So watch what he says. My children, the children of wisdom, you'll detect them. You'll know them by the way they conduct their lives. Wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom, where are your children? Jesus would say this morning. Wisdom, where are your children? And wisdom is of the Holy Spirit. And in a very real way, please do not miss this, the Spirit of God would say, so to speak, to Jesus, right here, right here. I am justified by my children. This is a strong statement, a deep theological truth. You want to know if I have saved someone, Jesus is saying, you'll see the Holy Spirit at work in their life. Watch them. Because wisdom is justified by the lives of how her children are lived. I hope that makes sense to you. In other words, how do you know if someone's a Christian? They say they are. Answer, you and I don't know until we watch how they live their life over time. Just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian. It's important. I've looked at my cars before and said, be a Ferrari. Be a Ferrari. Nothing happens. People tell me, if you have enough faith, like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I don't want to move a mountain. I want to turn my Volkswagen into a Ferrari. Hasn't happened yet. I don't have enough faith, I guess, huh? No, it's not the will of God. Think of it. But wisdom's justified of her children. How does she act? She acts out in the lives of her children. Wisdom is justified. Look at this word, justified. The Greek word is amazing. To show or to display, to live out your righteousness. It is to declare aloud. Oh, sounds like Proverbs. To herald forth righteousness. That's what the believer and their life is all about. Or else we're pretenders, and we don't want to be pretenders. Not at all. Wisdom will be speaking and guiding. If you have my notes, you'll see that I've got an illustration that I put in there, and I'll put it to you this way. For the believer, for the Christian life, if you're not sure about this, if you don't know, the Christian life, please understand this, the Christian life is not something that we do. If you've grown up in religion, which says you need to do this, this, and the other thing, and then we'll tell you if you're approved or not. That is not Jesus, that's not the Bible, that's not of God. That's of man, and that's of religion, and that's of the law. Are you hearing me? The Christian experience is relational, personal, and God has done it, and then he invites us to walk in it. It's like if you and I went down to the beach and got in a submarine, we get in it and we go into the water. We're underwater, but we're not wet. You're in Christ, and he's all around us. And that's the life of the believer. And my illustration is this. And I went and checked it out to make sure. It was Saturday, June 16th, 1984. Were any of you alive in 1984? And so I remember this because it was my last day, my last requirement to take my long distance solo before I could get my pilot's license. And it was up past the Sierras, from John Wayne Airport up to the Sierras and then back over the Sierras to Santa Maria and then down the coast to John Wayne. And you got to do this to get your license. You're all alone. It's terrifying. But it is also awesome. And there was a quick weather change, which all of us in Southern California know about. When the day's real warm and then it cools off real quick, you'll get this convection fog, and you'll see it form along the coastline. Well, John Wayne Airport's along the coast. And I'm fine, but I'm hundreds of miles away. But all of a sudden, the marine layer came in. And I'm a little kid flying this plane. And the weather conditions changed, and they were not predicted. So when I get back home, so to speak, I'm getting near the airport. You listen to this, it's an automated report, and it tells you the conditions. And I realize, and it said visibility a mile and a half. Well, you're not even allowed to fly the plane when you're learning how, if it's under 3 miles. You got to have 3 miles or more. Mile and a half. So I contacted the tower. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I remember my call sign to the plane. And I just said, John Wayne Tower, this is 269 Juliet. I'm returning on my solo cross country. And I need help. And this controller came on. And to the best of my recollection, this is what I hear him saying. And I think it's pretty close because I was mortified. He said, 269 Juliet. He said, I have you. He said, it's my job right now to get you home. So here's what we're going to do. The number one thing that guy did was he announced to all aircraft in the area, we've got a solo pilot. The conditions have changed. This guy I'm going to be bringing in. You understand something? When you're up in the soup and you weren't trained yet to be in the soup, and the guy says, I'm on the ground, I'm with you, I'm going to bring you down, it's my job to get you on the ground so you can go home. Do you understand how much comfort that brings you? And then when he's telling other planes like this, Delta 395, do a go around, we're bringing in Cessna 269 Juliet. I'm like the king. It's like, wow. Everything's cleared out. Why? Because one man's task with the authority of the federal government behind him to get down this punk to land and walk, turn left, turn right, this degree, slow it up, come this, you should see the lights, flash your landing light at me. I see you, 269 Juliet, you're clear to land. Everyone else remain, hold on the target. It was amazing. See, what's your point? It is the Holy Spirit's job to get you all the way down. This is the Holy Spirit talking to Julie. This is the Holy Spirit talking to John or to Mike or to Karen, whoever you are. This is the Holy Spirit saying, I've got you from here. I'll walk you down. I'll steer you in. I'll make it clear. I'll hold everybody off. I'll bring you in. It's your job to go home. I'm going to make sure that you go home. And the Holy Spirit's job is to get you to go home. Home to heaven. Psalm 32, 8 is a verse I think about when I think about that controller, which, by the way, I'm not gay or anything, but I wanted to get out of that airplane and kiss that guy. Psalm 32, 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's God's promise to you. God says, I want to guide you with my eye. I love that. Now, look, you know who doesn't love what I'm saying right now? People who have to be in control. Now, let's be honest. In some way, shape, or form, all of us have got to be in control. At least we think we do. Well, if I don't show up, what's going to happen? It'd probably go better. Well, if I don't do it, who's gonna take care of this? Probably 7 other people. No, seriously. Do you remember Pastor Lynn? Come on. Pastor Lynn, when he died, honestly, we had to hire people. One pastor dies, that guy did so much ministry, we had to hire an army. You think of that for a moment. God will always meet the need through people. But do keep this in mind. The beautiful truth of the matter is that God's desire for you and I is to be led by his eye. God says, I'll lead you with my eye. I'm going to lead you with my right arm. I'll guide you. You don't need an army. But here's the prerequisite. You got to let go. This is the hardest thing. You got to let go. Some control freaks are having their time with this. It's like, honey, I think we need to leave. No, listen. If you've got to control things, it means you're insecure. I know it's hard to train yourself into the lives of other people like a disciple maker. I know that's hard because you can't. Listen, you can do it better. If that's what you love, you do it really good. But God is saying to you, it's time to pass your skills on to others who've been called by God to step into this place. And you need to let it go. Like parents let their kids go. Got to let them go. God wants to lead us. That means God cannot lead me if I'm leading me. Because I'm like this. It's my eye. Isn't it so funny? It's like, follow me. No, don't follow me. But he says in verse 21, we know this, wisdom is never wrong. Boy, is that redundant. Wisdom is never wrong. Wisdom can't be wrong. Think of that for a moment. It's never wrong. That should be, by the way, a witness to some of you who are not believers that God exists. Are there things wrong in life? Yes. Are there things right? Yes. That's proof that God exists. Wisdom's never wrong. Verse 21 says, she cries. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. Every Christian is to go public with their faith. Not obnoxiously, not big mouth. But be there. And I wrote a few things down about how very public all of this is in the life of the believer, you and I. Wisdom is to be seen openly at work. Wisdom. Now this is fun. You see, Jack, it's against the law at my church to preach. I didn't say preach. HR does not allow us to take Bibles to work. I didn't say that. I didn't say take your Bible to work. We don't even need your Bible at work. You can put your Bible in your car. You are a walking Bible at your work. Okay? Watch this. There's people at your work, they'll never see it. They'll never hear a sermon preached. They'll never go to church. They've got you. And we'll say, what do you mean? Wisdom works through the life of you, the believer, while you're at work. And people will say something like this, seriously, for real. How did you know when everybody else was saying that we should spend $1 million on that project to go this way, how did you know to say that that's not going to work, that we should try this first, which is going to cost us $1 to see if we should even go spend $1 million? How did you know to think like that? I'm curious. Did you take a class? Friends, listen. That's when you get to say to people, well, friend, you asked. The thought just entered my head. I thought I would say it. I wasn't even thinking it. I'm a Christian. What does that have to do with anything? God said he'll give us wisdom. Just remember that, friend, when I get the big promotion and you don't. No, I'm kidding. You say, oh, you're joking. I'm not joking because look at the life of Daniel. Look at the life of Joseph. Joseph didn't know anything about that stuff. Joseph says, hey, Pharaoh, you know what? There's a drought coming. How did he know this? He had no weather channel. He had no app. Joseph tells Pharaoh, there's a drought coming. God revealed it to him. For the next 7 years, we need to take portions of every year's harvest and put it in the storehouses of Egypt so that when the 7 year of drought comes and there's no food, Egypt will have all the food in the world. And the Pharaoh, wow, that's brilliant. What did Joseph, say, you're welcome? No, Joseph said, my God told me that. Didn't Daniel say to Nebuchadnezzar, God told me that? Yes, he did. Wisdom's never wrong. And I love how the fact that this verse 21 is announcing that God's wisdom is even prophetic in a sense. What about the wisdom that is to be seen openly in the community? The Christian should be known in the community for their wisdom. Many of you may or may not remember this, but there was a time when Orange County, the county of the entire county of Orange, they went bankrupt. Do you guys remember that way back when? They went bankrupt. The controller messed up. That's right. I heard that name. We all know that name. The name that shall not be mentioned. The county controller blew the money. It was gone. And in the Orange County Register newspaper, people read newspapers back then, it said, this is the world speaking, it said, if we turn over the financial concerns of the county to Chuck Smith at Calvary Chapel, he'll fix it in a year. The world said that about a pastor because of his brilliant ability to have a witness and have wisdom at finances. Are you hearing me, everybody? Wow. The Bible tells us, let another man's lips praise you. You don't have to go around talking about yourself. That's ridiculous. Let other people elevate you with the words of their mouth in the community, and they give God glory. They may not even know it. What about school? Going to school and exhibiting wisdom. The Lord knows, and so do you, our schools today need wisdom. What about wisdom in the open when it comes to wisdom at home? We need to be wise at home. I could go off forever on this one about all kinds of different directions. From sexual intimacy to finances to kids in between to discipline to what fertilizer to use on your lawn. I may be wrong about this, but don't tell me if I am, because I love it. I am so skilled at getting in trouble on my own. Well, you know, if you buy this fertilizer, it's $2 cheaper than that stuff. And then I take it home and it kills my lawn because I wanted to save $2. I need the wisdom of God to get me through the hours of the day. And I have found a little surprise, if you want to put it that way. The more I understand how weak I am in brain and body, the more dependent I have found myself to be upon God. And so why doesn't he make a decision about this? Somebody will say. How come he hasn't said anything yet? Because I'm waiting for the wisdom of God. Listen, that's what he wants to do in our lives. And in home, we need it at home. It needs to start at home. And of course, wisdom at church, wisdom in marriage. And because it's an election season, I wrote down, what about wisdom in government, or we would call it politics? Joshua, by the way, I'm going to give you a bunch of political verses. Can you guys handle that? We'll see. Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, that is, people rack that up as a spiritual statement. Oh, it's way more than that. Because listen, in the realm of our relationship with God, tell me this. In the realm of our relationship with God as believers, are you going to tell me that these things are sacred and these things are secular and we don't touch those things and we don't speak to those things and we don't? No. Listen, this church, our proximity, you may or may not know this. A lot of the people who attend this church work at Disneyland. Now, I don't work at Disneyland. because I don't have enough fruit of the Spirit to work at Disneyland. But there are people here who are so full of the Spirit of God that they are able to work at Disneyland and be a witness. And listen, God spoke to them and they chose to obey God and to work in the Magic Kingdom. What about you, wherever you're at? But it's also a political statement. We don't realize that or not. Joshua was General Joshua leading a government of Israel. And the challenge is this: choose today whom you'll serve. Choose today. Think about that. Wow. Next verse. Daniel 2, verse 21 and 22. He, God, changes times and seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. Now watch out. There are those people who say, I don't get involved because God's going to make up his own mind anyway. That's goofy thought. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Daniel, God sets up kings and he takes kings down, but Joshua said, choose today whom you'll serve. I'm putting this together. Next verse, Proverbs 29. You guys, okay, we're almost done, sort of. We're almost done. Just be patient. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous increase, or when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Let me read it again. When the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. But here in California, when the wicked rule, the state groans. Final verse on this one. You can't separate your sacred from your secular. It's all sacred. All of it sacred. By the way, we should know that more than most. What is the meaning of sacramento? Anybody know the meaning of it? Say it loud. Sacrament. Did you know that? Sacramento is sacred. That's what the word means. To who? To God. Wow. Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Wisdom calls you to be involved. And then very quickly, verse 22 tells us that wisdom is speaking to you no matter how you and I feel. How long, listen to these, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Very quickly on this, listen to reason, everyone. Listen, no matter how you feel, doesn't matter, no matter how you feel, listen to reason. When he says, how long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? It means that they were without reason. They don't have it. Look at this, look at the word simple. The word simple in Hebrew is this: to be wide open. Watch this. Simple. To be wide open, uncovered or exposed, like an open hole, ditch, or channel. Now, that's the word simple. Look at the word simplicity. Look at the difference. Do you see a difference? It's the same meaning. What does it mean? You know people who will say, oh, I just keep an open mind. We think that's a virtue. They're so open-minded. The Bible says, don't be open-minded. You know why? Because your mind is like a big hole. It's like a ditch. It's like a channel. It's like anything and everything falls into it. You're undiscerning. He's like, oh, man, I'm just taking it all in. Well, maybe you shouldn't. God wants us to be discerning. Be careful. He wants us to use reason. I'm convinced, it's in my notes, page 7, you need to be more open-minded, signed Satan. Jesus said, narrow is the way, broad-minded. I insert the word minded. Broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction. There's other verses there, but to wrap this up in look at verse 22 at the latter end. Not only listen to reason, listen to knowledge. He says in verse 22, for scorners delight in their scorning. So what does that mean? the scorner is a person blabbing their mouth senselessly, crazy, just blabbing away. And they love it. Translation, scorners love to hear themselves talk. And they believe everything they say because they are a legend in their own mind. You can't tell a scorner anything. They're always looking for a fight. You can say to them, look how beautiful the sky is today. What makes it beautiful? Who says it's beautiful? It's like, calm down. Why are you telling me to calm down? Gee whiz. Who's G and who's whiz? And it's amazing. I want to leave you with this, where the Bible warns us that in the last days, there's going to be scorners. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, even before that, I should back up. How about this? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this. And you guys judge. Listen, if somebody's here and you're not a Christian, okay, that's fine. But you should be thinking. As I read this, ask yourself, is this true? Is this happening or not happening? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Like how? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Every number one, you already know this, but man, it's getting worse. The most famous curse word in movies is Jesus Christ. It's increasing. Why? Bible said so. If you're in a show, or if you're at a show, or if you're at a movie, or if you're on watching TV, or if you're at a restaurant and somebody says Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, you just remember this. In the last days, that's right. In the last days, there's going to be blasphemers. They're going to increase. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's 2,000 years old, true or false? That's right. Next verse, very quickly. Next verse, 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. But these are like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Wow. The Bible says this is the day that is going to, this is the age that is going to describe the end times. A time lack or void of wisdom. Let's all stand. I'm going to have you stand, but I'm going to show you one more thing, which is just absolutely crazy, and you can look at it later in detail if you would look at the notes. Can you guys throw the quote up there by Elon Musk, if you would? He was in an interview recently. By the way, this guy has really been on a journey. His latest comment is, when interviewed, the reporter asked, where do you go to, listen to the question, where do you go to for inspiration? This is Elon Musk. I mean, the guy sneezes and he's got a billion-dollar idea. He didn't say the Encyclopedia Britannica. He didn't say the Ouija board. Elon Musk said, I believe everything has been created. I believe in the Creator. That's what Elon Musk said. Now, listen, I'm not saying Elon Musk is born again. What I am saying is he's on his journey. A man of that brain power and of that success, by the way, did you know looks like he's going to be the first trillionaire in human history. That said, I want to leave you with this. This is amazing. The book of Genesis tells us that Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. And the Bible says, in English it says, that he was a hunter before the Lord. Nimrod, the hunter before the Lord. Sounds kind of cute. Sounds like when Nimrod went hunting, he took Jesus with him. That's not what it means. The Hebrew language says this. Nimrod hunted the Lord. Nimrod was a hunter of God. He wanted to dethrone God. Nimrod, he was the first Antichrist type. And the Bible says that God visited the Tower of Babel and sent confusion among them because they all spoke the same language. Listen. And God said, if I don't send them confusion, there will be nothing hidden from their imagination that they will not be able to pull off. In other words, God saved us from ourselves by sending confusion. Because us fallen make the wrong decisions. That's Genesis. In the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel says, in the last days, during the time of what is known as the Antichrist, men will travel to and fro and knowledge shall increase. The word in Hebrew is, men shall travel over the face of the earth quickly, back and forth, and knowledge will grow exponentially. How did Daniel know that 3,000 years ago? Listen, knowledge is increasing. You agree? AI? Hey, Alexa, hey, Siri, hey, Grok, hey, whatever these things are called. You can have knowledge of stuff instantly. You'll never get wisdom from it. AI is a god that man has created in his own image. But when man creates an idol, he turns right around and worships it. But this time it's going to talk to you and tell you what to do with no wisdom. Choose today whom you'll serve. In Jesus' name, amen.